All right, you can hear me. Soon you will be able to see me, God willing. Yeah, there we go. Oh, it's always many steps here. And then you need to be able to see the devotion. So let's get that up. There we go. All right. And the webcam settings. All right, good. So glad to have you here this morning. I am Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin. It is Saturday, August 8th, 2020, and today our catechesis continues in Matthew's Gospel. We're in chapter 20, and Jesus is going to predict his passion for a third time in the Gospel. All right, we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say our memory verse for this week one last time. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 16. Our psalm for this week is Psalm 89. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? You rule the raging of the sea with its waves. When its waves rise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a carcass. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of heaven. Of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law, and do not walk according to my just decrees, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love, or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever. His throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations, with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading for today is continuation from Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke, the earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There ends the reading. Quite a lovely reading from Isaiah. You know, where to put our hope is in the work of the Lord who has redeemed us, whose right arm has restored us, who tore apart Egypt, wounded the serpent, and led us through the Red Sea. Beautiful. All right, our reading for catechesis is, again, the continuation from St. Matthew, chapter 20. Now, Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with their sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup with which I am about to drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "Yes, we are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." There ends the reading. All right, we see a turn happening here in Matthew's Gospel, now in chapter 20. He turns, and where is he going? He's going up to Jerusalem. Yeah. For what purpose? What does he tell the disciples is going to happen there? You see this passion prediction, 18 through 19, right? The Son of Man will be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes. They would condemn him to death, deliver him to Gentiles to be mocked, scourged, and crucified. And then, most importantly, on the third day, he will rise again. Now, as I just said, this is now the third time he has told this. The first time was back in chapter 16, and then the second time was in chapter 17, and now here in chapter 20 is the third time. Three being not inadvertent, I think. Who came to Jesus? In verse 20? Yeah, the mother of Zebedee's sons. Who were Zebedee's sons? Back in Matthew 4, we meet them as they are fishing. Yeah, these are James and John, right? What did she ask of Jesus? It's quite curious. Yeah, you see this in verse 21. She asked that her two sons might sit, one on the right hand and one on the left hand of Jesus in his kingdom. what did Jesus respond? And I think this was the right response. "You don't even know what you're asking for," right? Yeah. So what did he ask the sons then? See this in verse 22? No, I think he's addressing the sons, not their mother. "Yeah, are you able to drink the cup with which, or that I'm about to drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am able?" And they said, yeah, that they are able. You see that in verse 22? What did he then reveal to them in verse 23? They would actually drink from the cup that he's about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that he is baptized with, right? But could they sit at his right hand and at his left hand? Jesus says it's not for his to, it's not his to give, actually. It's only for those for whom the Father has prepared it. It's one of those mysteries of the Holy Trinity, right? That that in his humiliation, Jesus, he knows the Father's will, and yet he also doesn't at times, right? Yeah, that he grows in wisdom and stature and favor before God and men, right? See that back at the beginning in Luke's Gospel. How did the 10 respond? little jealousy here. The 10 meaning not those two, James and John, but the other 10, yeah, they were displeased. I think it is kind of gutsy of her. Thanks, Eileen. That's a good question. But probably, you know, maybe less gutsy than what she didn't even know what she was actually asking for. You know, because his kingdom is, of course, a kingdom not of this world, as he'll tell Pontius Pilate, right? She's thinking of his kingdom in terms of an earthly kingdom, right? And clearly they are at his right and left most of the time, Peter, James, and John, right? The three. And yet, yeah, it is pretty gutsy. This is also an important, just kind of side note, that as we've seen throughout the gospel, a little less so in Matthew, much more profoundly so in Luke's gospel, the women, including James and John's mother, travel with the whole band of apostles. So there's not only, you know, the 12, but like in Luke's gospel, we see the sending of, well, actually we saw it in Matthew too, the sending of the 70, right? Or 77, did we say? No, we said 72, I think. Yeah, 72 in Matthew's gospel. And then, but also the band of the apostles include the women who support them, probably being widows, or, likely widows, older women, who have wealth but have no place to live. So then they follow this rabbi and care for him and for the disciples. They wonder how, you know, how they can just wander about without a source of income. Well, that's how. All right, so just a side note. And what does Jesus then speak at this point, right? Now that those 10 are displeased, he brings them all near, right, in verse 25. And then he says that it's the rulers of the Gentiles, so like kings of this world, if you like, that lord it over the people, right? Their positions of authority, you know, their sense of greatness is based off of, you know, what they can do, their power that is derived from their authority. But how will it be among the disciples? And then, by extension, how is it in the Christian church, in the apostolic church? Yeah, the greatest in the church, the greatest amongst the apostles, are those who serve, who are a servant. And whoever desires to be first, if you like, will be slave of all. Now, why is it to be this way, according to Jesus? Because Jesus, who is the head of the church, sets that pattern, right? The Son of Man came not to be served, right, in the way of this world, or the way earthly king, or even the way of a pagan god. But rather he comes to serve, to give, and especially here, connected all the way back to what we saw in the Passion prediction in 18 and 19, to give his life as a ransom, that is, a blood atonement price for all, for many. It reminds me of Luther's comment, or maxim, really, in The Freedom of the Christian, which was published 500 years ago this year, 1520. Is that right? Yeah, 1520, where he says, I'm going to get this wrong. I always get it wrong. I just have to think it through. All right. Yes, the Christian is servant to none and free. I'm not going to get it exactly right. I'm paraphrasing. But he's also servant to all, bound to everyone. So at the same time, we're freed, you know, from sense of obligation or duty, in the realm of salvation. But on the flip side, we're actually bound to everyone because we've been saved freely as a gift in Christ. Now we're bound to everyone in love, that we can serve them in love, not out of a sense of merit, earning favor before God in order to earn our way into heaven, but rather simply because that's who we are. And that's how Jesus has saved us, is by loving us, by becoming a servant for us. So that's The Freedom of the Christian. It'd be a great book to study, actually. I'm sure there's some good studies on it. All right. Jesus speaks again about his suffering, death, and resurrection, but the disciples still practice the theology of glory. That is, they believe God will accomplish his greatest good through power and victory in this age. James and John will indeed be baptized with the baptism of Jesus and drink of his cup in the supper, and so that they share in his sufferings as well as his glory. Jesus will have thieves at his right and his left as he takes the crown of the kingdom at the cross. One thief seeks his mercy in the midst of suffering, and the other despises Jesus in his weakness. We'll see that in a few chapters. Jesus came to serve both and to give his life as payment for the sins of all men. Those who preach the gospel after him are to be servants. That is, they are to proclaim the ransom that has been paid for our sins to free us from sin, death, and hell. They are to administer the baptism of Jesus and distribute the cup that he has given to his church. The pastor is a slave. The pastor is a slave who is bound to this message of the ransom. That is the theology of the cross, that, quote, God accomplishes his greatest good in the midst of suffering and when human reason is contradicted. That's quoting Luther. In such service, God kills to make alive. Quoting Luther at the Heidelberg Disputation in 1518. Yeah, the pastor is a slave who is bound to this message of the ransom and actually bound to the institutions that the Lord has given to. So baptism, Lord's Supper, absolving, repentant sinners. I'm not free to just choose when and where that happens. I'm actually bound by the Lord's own institution to give, which is good for you, right? You can say, you can hold pastor to account and say, Pastor, you promised that you would do this. And yes, I did. Ordination and installation. All right. Let's, again, one more time, confess the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. Now, how is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you hallow your name among us when your word is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as your dear children, also lead holy lives according to it. We give thanks to you for the gift of your word, for our pastors, parents, and others who teach it, and for the holy lives of all your faithful Christians who live according to it. Forgive us for the many ways in which we profane your name, your holy name among us, by failing to teach your word in its truth and purity, to pray for our pastors and teachers, or to lead holy lives. Protect us from false doctrine and evil living. Help all who are called to teach and preach your word to do so with faithfulness, and grant us to receive your word rightly, that our lives may be made holy by it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray today for faithfulness to the end, for the renewal of those who are withering in the faith or have fallen away, for pastors as they prepare to administer Christ's holy gifts, and for receptive hearts and minds on the Lord's day. We pray for our first responders, doctors, nurses, and all who work in nursing homes and hospitals. We pray for an end to anxious thoughts and constant worry. We pray for deliverance from this pestilence, from sedition and rebellion. We pray for our military personnel. We pray in thanksgiving for successful surgery for Autumn Gooding and for my father, Ron Gillespie, who had knee surgery. We pray in thanksgiving for the 165th anniversary of St. John, which we celebrated this week. We pray for healing for those who are ill or recovering, especially Marcella, Jan, David, Carol, Brad, Janet, Carol, and Sandy, Linda, Joan, Ken, Aaron, and Roger. We pray the Lord grant a peaceful end to Steve Siebenaller. We pray that he comfort those who are grieving, especially John, the family and friends of John Borgenhagen and Jim Geiser. We pray that he would strengthen those who are isolated due to COVID, Willis and Janice, Mickey and Bev. And we pray that he would give us generous hearts to support the work of our missionaries, those who serve in LCMS World Relief and Human Care, as well as the Federwitz family. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray the collect for this past Sunday together. Grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything good without you may be enabled by you to live according to your will. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right. We sing our hymn for this past week. Hymn of the day. I sing it one more time. In God, my faithful God. Oh, I haven't done it here at home. So, it's not actually here in my player. So just give me a second here. Hymn audio. That's hymn number 745, right? And there it is. Whew.
Dear Lord, we all are while here we wander, until we praise you yonder.
Good morning. It is August 8th, 2020. So glad to have you with us here for our congregation at prayer. I pray that it has been edifying for you and has led you from darkness into the light of Christ. Join us tomorrow morning for divine service at St. John at 9:30 a.m. All proper precautions can be taken there. So, do what is best for you and your health, but I'd encourage you to attend if at all possible, again, with proper precautions. And we'll do our best to do the same as servants of the Lord. If you're not able to join us, of course, you can watch streaming online as long as that works live. Otherwise, I repost it later in the day if it doesn't stream properly from church, as we have periodic internet issues there. And yes, blessed morning. Thanks, Chris. Blessed morning to you as well. So Lord be with you all, and we'll see you again either tomorrow morning or Monday morning for our congregation of prayer.